Let's turn to Luke's Gospel this morning, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 46, let's hear the Word of God. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name." Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing again as we open the word today. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scriptures, that you'll open our hearts and open our minds to receive them. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every year it's repeated. We go through, we live our lives, and every year the holiday season comes about at year's end. And we're told that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. But in truth, it's very often that Christmas is a big mixed bag of emotions. Some people aren't too holiday spirited. Some folks get depressed at this time of year more than any other time. And part of that depression, to some degree, comes from all the pressures that the season brings with it. If you are of a certain age, I got to believe that at some point in your life, you've seen Charlie Brown Christmas. And you'll remember from that meaningful half-hour cartoon that Charlie Brown was feeling blue because of all the hubbub, of all the commercialization of the season. And so he goes to see his friend, the psychiatrist, Lucy Van Pelt. And she encourages him. She says, "What you need is involvement. You need activity in order to get into the Christmas spirit. We need to have the Christmas spirit," some will say. And if you don't have it, people will tell you, they'll encourage you. They'll say, you know, you've got to do something to get it. You know that you can Google the Christmas spirit, and Google will give you suggestions of how you may obtain it. Why, first of all, you need to listen to Christmas music. Turn the tunes on. Listen to Frosty the Snowman. Sure, that's a Christmas tune. Listen to Baby, It's Cold Outside. Yeah, that's a Christmas tune. They'll say, watch Christmas programs. Because if you watch, whether it's Charlie Brown Christmas or if you watch some Christmas movie or something like that, you're gonna go through there and you're gonna see how people who are low all of a sudden at the end become filled with Christmas cheer, and not necessarily out of a bottle. Some do, but it happens. Google says throw a party. Have a party. Well, how can you be blue if you're in a party, right? Man, you got to be involved in that sort of thing. Of course, put up a tree. Everybody needs a tree in their house. All year long. You know, trade them out. You got an evergreen at this time of year. You put an oak tree in there, you know, come springtime. You have a tree in your house. That'll cheer you up. It says, look at Christmas lights. Because looking at Christmas lights is going to cheer you up in some way. Now, everybody has their own idea about Christmas lights, you know. Some people have come to the point where they like just white lights on their tree. And if you like that, I say, okay, more power to you. I think I can see white lights anytime. I like to see pretty ones, colored ones, you know, that's what I like. But that's just me. And then they said, read stories. You know, read Christmas stories. Because if you do all of these things, somehow or another, if you're not experiencing the Christmas spirit, this is going to get you there. This is going to help you have the Christmas spirit. Now, when Jen was growing up, every year I would read Dickens' Christmas Carol. I mean, that was just the thing that we did. And I enjoyed it. There is not a whit of sound theology in that story. But it's a good story. And there are moral lessons that can be learned from it. So I used to read it every year, whatever. So we do all those things. And hopefully you do all these things. You're able to generate what's called the Christmas spirit. And the Christmas spirit is special. Men will lament that this only comes once a year. And why can't we make this spirit last all year long? We have special meals. We are able, at least to some degree, to experience a warmth of feeling. And even in some cases, people will work harder to try and pursue peace on earth. When families gather, they'll usually put the knives down, you know? They'll try and communicate to one another. They'll save the stabbing for later. But, you know, not at Christmas time. The one aspect that is most associated with the Christmas spirit is the act of giving. People give. Whatever it is they're able to do, they'll give. And many times, even if they lack the means, they'll find a way to give something. Hey, have you ever received that really special gift from someone that you thought, what is this? But the person who gave it to you really meant it from their heart. You know, they were trying to do that. You know, my customers, when I'm out and about, you know, usually my customers remember me at Christmas time. This year was not a good Christmas. I don't know if they had a bad year or what, but I didn't get too much this year. But the one customer who I always kind of counted on to get some kind of a gift card from, this year gave me a little jar of homemade hardtack. And I said, oh, that's nice. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas. And I took it home. I said, Betty, you want this? I hate this stuff. But, you know, I said, it's the thought that counts, right? We try to find a way to give something. People will go deep into debt at this time of year just so they can give something to someone. Now, before I get too carried away, let me just tell you, there's not a thing wrong with those things. You know, I don't want to be the wet blanket that says, you can't do that because it's evil or wicked or something. I'm not doing that. But is the true spirit of Christmas to be found in any of it? How do we know what the true spirit of Christmas is? How will we find what the true spirit of Christmas is? There's only one place we can go. If we want to know truth, we have to go to God's Word. That's the only place that we can go. Now, the Scriptures don't record that the early church celebrated the Lord's birth. There is no recording whatsoever of that. Yet without the Lord's birth, there would be no celebration of any kind as it applies to Christianity. Without the Lord's birth, there would be no Christianity. Without the Lord's birth, the fact of the matter is, we would all be doomed. We would be a people without hope. A people without a future. We would have no place to take our burdens. The birth of Jesus Christ was essential. In this chapter, we're going to jump around a little bit. In this first chapter of Luke, Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Mary is a young girl, maybe 15, 16. She's carrying the Christ child. Her cousin Elizabeth is much, much older. She too is carrying a child. Be John the Baptist. And in the 41st verse of this chapter 1, it says, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb, and for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" The hearing, just the association of Christ with his people caused an internal reaction, caused an infilling of the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth. Now her husband, Zacharias, was working at the temple, and he had been informed by Gabriel that his wife would be having a child. And Zacharias didn't believe him. How many times in the scriptures does this have to happen? I mean, you know, Abraham gets told, "Hey, old man, you're going to be a father. Hey there, Sarah, you're going to be a mother." And they don't believe it because it just ain't natural. It just does not happen. And yet God's word was true. Sarah had a child. And Gabriel comes to Zacharias and says, "Look, Elizabeth's going to have this baby, and you're going to name him John." And he didn't quite believe it, and so he was struck mute. His ability to speak was taken from him because he didn't believe the word of God. And yet the time came, John was born, and the time came for him to go to the temple to be circumcised. And something happens in the 67th verse of this first chapter. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." There, at this time, in their association with Christ, is a spirit that takes them, and it's the Holy Spirit. In Luke 2, the story that we're all very familiar with, we see shepherds in a field tending to sheep. And there is an angelic host that approaches these guys and gives them a word, gives them a message. The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about him, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign, be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, and the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, what? Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. The shepherds had a reaction to their encounter. And it was glorifying and praising God. Now, one more fellow in this second chapter. Down by verse 25. There's a fellow named Simeon. And this man was just and devout. And he was waiting. He'd been waiting his whole life for the coming of Messiah. It said he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." We're seeing something very similar in all of these instances. The Spirit that is being encountered, this Spirit, this Christmas Spirit, is the Holy Spirit. And the result of the encounter of all of these people is to worship. This is what it's about. Also, dropping down to verse 36 in this second chapter, we hear the story, just a brief accounting, of a lady named Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years old. She had been married for 7 years. Her husband died, and she stayed working in the church. And at this point, at the time of this writing, she was 84 years old. All those years. Who knows how old she was when she got married? In those days, young girls were marrying. It was not uncommon for a 14, 15, 16-year-old girl to be getting married. So she was with her husband for 7 years. He died, and for the remainder of her life, she committed herself to working in the temple. And she says, but she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. She didn't think to point people to a Santa Claus or some variation of a Santa Claus, of some other kind of a thing. She's pointing them to Christ. She gave thanks, and she spoke of him. She worshiped. Back in Matthew, in the second chapter of Matthew, we see the account of the wise men from the east. And why did they come? They came to worship. They came to worship. And what we see over and over and over again recorded for us in the scriptures is that the true spirit of Christmas is worship. When we worship, all of our attention is drawn to that object of our worship. When we worship in truth and in spirit, all of our being is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. To worship in spirit and to worship in truth, as Jesus tells us we ought, causes us, our hearts, to be filled with wonder as we ponder the awesomeness of God. Who God is. When we come to Him in worship, to worship in spirit and in truth, we can't help but be filled with gratitude for what He's done for us. When we are so lost in worship, our concentration is intent upon God. So much so that we, frankly, become oblivious to our own needs, to our own wants, to our own desires. Because we are so focused on Almighty God, we can see nothing but God. We offer praise to God, and our worship is for God. But the thing about it is, while we may become oblivious to the things that we need, God doesn't. We go to Him in worship, and He knows full well what we need. He knows that thing that we need the most. He knows every corner of our hearts. Those things that we are so careful about, those things that we are so perfected about hiding from other people, God knows those things. We hide nothing from Him. And when we come to Him in genuineness of spirit to worship Him, He knows that too. He knows if we're approaching Him in sincerity and in truth. Christmas time. Isn't that the most opportune time to focus on God's greatest gift to His people, His Son? We've seen through some of the things that we looked at this morning, the Christmas spirit, if we use that term, as it was demonstrated in the lives of Elizabeth and Zacharias and Anna and Simeon, and the wise men. But there was one whose encounter with the Savior was closer than all of them. The one who was chosen by God for the task of carrying the infant. We look at Mary. Now, Mary was a human being. She was a sinful creature. She is worthy of our respect for her part. She humbly submitted to God's will in this thing. Remember, she's just a young girl. And this is a heavy theological truth that's coming on her. She's face to face with an angel that's telling her this is what's going on. And she, okay. So she humbly submits to God to carry about the task that's given to her. But she's not divine. And we respect her, but she's not worthy of worship. In fact, what we see Mary doing is worshiping. We see worship flowing from her. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." This is a song. Mary worships. She sings a song that is filled with truth. Perhaps the most beautiful psalm that you will read, certainly in the New Testament. And when we read her outpouring of worship, we see something that is a necessary aspect of all of our worship. That it needs to be genuine. It needs to be the real deal. Not a display that reflects a season. You know, this time of year, people who have no relationship to the Lord, they don't mind sending out a Christmas card that might have shepherds and a star on it. They have little problems singing some Christmas carols that mention the little Lord Jesus. But there is no genuine heart there. There is no genuine expression of worship to the King of Kings. Mary is genuine in her expression of worship. She declares it from her soul and from her spirit, which means from her whole heart. The worship that she exercises goes directly to God. And there is no pride. There is no self-exaltation in it. It's worship to Almighty God, which is probably the key part of the whole song. My spirit is rejoiced, not in my abilities. My spirit is rejoiced, not in my own humility. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. That's really important, because were he not Savior, were he judge only? This song would be impossible. You couldn't sing it. You'd be living in hatred. You'd be living in fear. You couldn't sing this song. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Jesus came to reconcile his people with the Father. Jesus came to protect his people from the wrath that we all so rightly deserve. Jesus came to give us life. Abundant life. Not only now, but forevermore. And so the time of the year we observe. But we celebrate every day. We don't limit our celebration to December 25. We don't limit our worship to congregational worship on Sunday. We worship daily. Congregational worship is important. We ought not avoid it. But we worship every day. And so if we look at it from that aspect, from that perspective, then all the things those guys were lamenting a while back, why can't we have Christmas all year long? We can. If the Christmas spirit is worship, not only can we have it all year long, we must have it all year long to the glory of God. Let's pray.